It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. There's all kinds of great information in there. So happy Monday. We are into May, which is great. It's beautiful out there. My pansies are looking beautiful out there, and my pots on my front of my house, and I'm ready for spring and summer. Steve, how are you doing? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was full of activity, and my list of things to do is, it seems like I get one done, and somebody else parks five things on top of it. So yeah, there's never, and plus I got a haircut, which is driving me absolutely crazy.
Well, I'm supposed to get my nails done a little bit later today, and I have a feeling I'm not going to get them done, but I'll tell you, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to have a conversation about important things going on out there in our country during this first segment. And in the second segment, Renee Anderson and Andy Jones are candidates for the Highlands Ranch Metro District Board. And we'll chat with them about that. You know, these elections we're seeing are really, really important. People that we put in place on these local, our city councils, our metropolitan district boards, our fire district boards, these are really important races. And I think people have not realized that. So we'll talk to them in the second segment. In the third and fourth segment, Kim Ransom, Colorado State Representative, she's on the Joint Budget Committee, and we're going to be talking about what it's starting to look like regarding Colorado's finances after going through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. So that'll be in the third and fourth segment. I would so encourage you to go to my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and take a look at these headlines for hope that we're doing. I've been actually going through the story of Jody Lander. He's a World War II veteran. And what is so amazing, Steve, is he jumped in behind enemy lines on D-Day, June 6, 1944. Then he jumped in at Operation Market Garden into Holland, and then was also at the Battle of the Bulge. We've not gotten to that yet, but so we've done, what, 9 little 3-minute segments, and they are, I think they're just awesome, all of them, but we've been going through Jody Lander's story, and I think they're pretty rich.
Well, you included last week that the Holland operation was the motivation or the, what am I trying to say, behind the movie A Bridge Too Far, which I have seen. So you pair up this idea of seeing a movie written for the screen, but it's based on this guy's personal account of being there, and it just makes it so real.
Well, and I was talking to my friend who had introduced me. Jody Lander lives down in Texas, and I said, "Gosh, thank you so much." I said, "I'm going through this." And I said, "Have you talked to him?" She said, "No." And she said, "Why don't you give him a call?" I said, "Okay." So he's in his 90s, and I gave him a call, and I'm going to re-interview him. And I'm really excited about that. So be sure and check those out. As we're going through this crazy time in our country, I think it just gives us a lot of heart to hear the stories of these men and women. And so be sure and check that out. Also, another thing that we're doing is this Sounding Off with Kim Munson. We have 3 excellent podcasts that we highlighted in our newsletter, and then they're on the website. And that is Clint Doris and Dr. Jill Vecchio and Joshua Scharf. I'm not going to tell you what we talked about. You'll have to go check that out. Okay, Steve, as we jump in here, I want to make sure, as we are looking at what's happening in our country, we need to go back to Rudyard Kipling. And, you know, he was the author of The Jungle Book. He says, "I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So just use that. Put your thinking cap on as people are trying to really, I think, rattle around their power. We need to make sure that we're looking at that. And the issues really have been freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or as Tom Goodfellow has said, freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. So this weekend, Steve, was our Liberty Toastmasters virtual meeting, and one of my colleagues there gave this quote, and I thought this was amazing. He said, "Fear knocked at the door, and truth answered, and then there was no one there." I mean, chaw on that for a minute. Fear knocked at the door, truth answered, and there was no one there. What do you think of that?
Well, excellent illustration of the way things, I guess, really should be dealt with. But I am so weary of the media in any form. And this particular case is a community newspaper that we both get. And the way they use their words, it just drives me crazy. They are peddling fear and hysteria.
Well, they really are. And it is now time to act. We need to ask, where are our local leaders? Although I've seen, and there's a difference between being in a position of leadership and being a leader. And actually, I think we've gotten it. We've moved this to the people we put in office. We call them leaders. They are not leaders. They are supposed to be representatives of the people. So where are our representatives for the people? And I think what we need to start to do is to go to these different websites of these different cities and counties and metro districts and start to comment on the things that they are doing. That is, I think, a new way to be writing a letter to the representative. And so we need to start to, if we're on our computers and we're doing all our keyboard stuff, we need to add in some things that are really positive and be productive on that. So I always love to say thank you to the team I get to work with, Steve, you, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. It's really a good team, and we're getting through this. This has been such a crazy time, but I really appreciate each and every one of you, Steve.
Well, thank you for that. I, too, kind of get a different view each week, because we all do a different piece of this, and sometimes something will go awry, a file didn't make it here or didn't go there, whatever. And you get a chance to, interact with that person and realize what a special group this is. So good for all of us.
And to each of you listeners, I continue to hear from you. I really love hearing from you. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I love suggestions and certainly really appreciate those to make us better and better. Each of us, let's strive for excellence. Let's take care of heart, soul, mind, and body, and be productive, be industrious, and do something to stand up for the American idea, because the American idea is, in some ways, I think, on the ropes, and it's now our turn. Jody Lander stepped forward in World War II. It is now our turn to make the case for freedom, and in some ways, it's more difficult, because the enemy right now is something that's more unseen. And that's why we do this show. So our quote for today is from Joseph Story. He was an American lawyer, a jurist who served on the Supreme Court of the United States from 1812 to 1845. He was born in 1779 and died in 1845. And this is his quote. He says, "Let the American youth never forget that they possess a noble inheritance, bought by the toils and sufferings and blood of their ancestors. And capacity, if wisely improved and faithfully guarded, of transmitting to their latest posterity all the substantial blessings of life, the peaceful enjoyment of liberty, property, religion, and independence." Is that something, Steve? Wow.
Well, specifically addressed to the American youth. And yeah, if they will seek it, they will find it. But there's not enough of them seeking it right now.
Well, and it's not only to the youth. I actually would like to put our generation in there as well. Our generation has had it pretty nice. And what I'm seeing with this reaction to this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption is a bit disappointing. And I'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But our funnies, I thought this was funny. Are you ready, Steve?
I'm afraid to encourage you, but go ahead.
Okay. Two rabbits were being chased by a pack of hungry wolves, and the wolves chased the rabbits into a thicket. After a few minutes, one rabbit turned to the other and said, "Well, do you want to make a run for it? Or should we stay here for a few days and outnumber them?"
I would say, based on what's going on in my backyard, there's a lot of truth to that.
Okay. You know, there is a lot going on. If you turn on the television, I mean, there's just all the COVID stuff. But there's serious other things that are going on as well. And a couple of those I wanted to mention is I saw just a headline yesterday that North Korea and South Korea actually exchanged gunfire, which I think is very concerning. And then there is a piece that was in Complete Colorado by Randall O'Toole. It says the anti-auto nuts prefer COVID exposure to driving in cars. So they have not gone to sleep on this assault on us driving around in our cars. But it's like, wait a minute. Your car is one of your safest places to be under COVID. So it's so interesting to me, Steve, how they're taking this, this COVID-19 thing to just come in with these draconian power grabs. But yet, on the other hand, they're doing things that don't make sense. And that's why this whole thing is not measuring up to me on what is going on. There's one other thing that I wanted to mention to you here that Patty had. And that was, she said, this is from The Hill. It says, terrorist threats are rising amid the coronavirus pandemic. Government officials and researchers are warning world leaders not to lose focus on global security threats as extremist groups and terrorist organizations exploit the coronavirus pandemic to increase their operations. And then lastly, you know, we've seen natural gas prices and oil prices go down significantly. And this is from the Colorado Sun. Xcel Energy is pressing ahead with a proposed $145 million natural gas rate increase despite concerns by consumer advocates and a state regulator about its impact on customers in the midst of the novel coronavirus pandemic. Now, Steve, we know that natural gas prices have gone down significantly. We know that people are hurting. And so this is, again, people are not paying attention to these things. That's why we do this show, so that you're aware of that.
You know, and we've been quoting it a lot lately, whether it was Rahm Emanuel or somebody else before him, but never let a good crisis go to waste. Here's two different entities, terrorists and or Xcel, or maybe you put them in the same boat. I don't know, but more than ready to take advantage of this this crisis.
Well, and I so appreciate our energy companies. I appreciate our power companies. I appreciate Xcel. I love the fact that I have energy, you know, when I turn on the lights and I have energy to run my computer. So I'm appreciative of that. But, you know, they're also somewhat of a monopoly in our area. And then you've got the PUC that says what they can and cannot do. But I think what instead of saying that Xcel... I just wouldn't, you know, put them in the same sentence as terrorists. They're not even close. I would say that what I'm concerned about is that it has been politicians and bureaucrats that are trying to get rid of clean coal, where they have encouraged Xcel Energy to close down our coal-fired plants, which offers reliable, efficient energy. And affordable energy, and they've encouraged Xcel to move over to these quote-unquote renewables, which when the sun doesn't shine and when the wind doesn't blow, then they have to go back to things that are based on coal or natural gas. And so it really has been our politicians and bureaucrats that have really pushed this forward, and that's where we need to make sure that we let people know that that's where those decisions have been made. And it's astonishing to me with natural gas prices at these lows that, in fact, Xcel is looking for a price increase. And the reason is because they are closing down affordable, efficient, reliable coal-fired plants because there's the push towards renewables. Did I explain that well enough, Steve? I'm hoping I did.
You did. Yes.
Okay.
Every time we get into this little niche, I always like to say we are not, I put this disclaimer out there about anything that's these other forms of energy that are being developed. It's like we are not anti those types of energy, but we want them to be sustainable. We want them to be predictable. We want to get all the bugs worked out of them before we turn loose our current way of, generating electricity.
Right. And we also want it to be affordable. So if, in fact, it costs a whole lot more, who's going to pay for that? That's our everyday people that their businesses have been shut down here now for quite some time. And so that's why we make that case. I know that we've got us a little bit jammed up on time. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Renee Anderson and Andy Jones. They are putting their names forward as candidates for the Highlands Ranch Metropolitan District Board. It's a very important election. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. I'm very pleased to have on the line with me two people that are stepping forward regarding running for the Highlands Ranch Metropolitan District Board. And Renee Anderson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks for having us this morning.
And Andy Jones, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, Kim. You're awesome to have us on this day. Thank you.
Well, now, when is the election, Andy?
So, Kim, we are about 24 hours away from polls opening at the Highlands Ranch Metro District facility at 62 Plaza Drive near the AMC 24 Theater. It'll open tomorrow morning at 7, and it closes at 7 tomorrow night.
So it's not a mail-in ballot? Do people have to go there to vote, or how's that working?
So the opportunity for people to get mail-in ballots has come and gone. We have some of the highest levels of requests for mail-in ballots, but this is an old-fashioned in-person polling place tomorrow.
I love it.
COVID-safe. People will have to drive up, park, walk in, spend 10 minutes or less going through the process, vote for Renee Anderson, Nancy Smith, and Andy Jones, and then they can leave and go get their first cup of coffee.
Okay. So, Renee, tell me, what is the Highlands Ranch Metropolitan District Board? What is this exactly?
Well, Highlands Ranch is not a city or a town. When it was initially begun to be developed back in 1981, they developed a metropolitan district as it grew to provide services in unincorporated Douglas County that weren't necessarily provided by the county, so stormwater management. They worked with the county on in-tract lines and water, working with the water district on whenever a developer was going to work on the next neighborhood. providing water taps and Parks Rec open space. And then we also used to contract with the city of Littleton for fire, but now we have South Metro Fire.
Okay. And Andy, why does this matter? Why are these elections important?
Well, Kim, you've served on a town council before, so you know how important the government at the most local level is critical. It has the highest impact on each individual. But what we have seen is a very concerted effort, going back to what was called the Colorado Blueprint, for progressive liberals to take over all levels of governance throughout the state. The most local government entities, like town council, unincorporated areas like Highlands Ranch, they're in the crosshairs, and this Highlands Ranch Metro election battle in the war for Douglas County. People need to be aware that this is a very, very important election tomorrow.
Okay, now, so you mentioned there's three names. Renee, tell me a little bit about this. There's you, obviously, and Andy and Nancy Smith. So tell me, who are you, each of you?
So Nancy Smith and myself, are already board directors on the Highlands Ranch Metropolitan District Board. Nancy's been on for quite a while and is very experienced. And I've been on for about 6 years, and we were hoping to get reelected so that we can continue some of the work that we're doing. We're nearing build out. We're within 3 years of paying off our debt, and we're excited to continue that and really keep Highlands Ranch very fiscally sound as it's been. Andy, as you know, is a longtime service, community service, and leader in everything that he does. And we'd be so grateful to have him on that board helping to lead and make really important decisions for our local government.
And so agree with you. Government at the local level is so important. And to your point, Andy, I think that many times people have been so busy with their lives that they haven't stepped forward to serve, like Nancy and Renee have for all these years. So thank you, first of all, for that. But Andy, I know you personally, and I know that you care deeply about our community, and I know that you'd be excellent on that as well. So tell me, Andy, what is generally you guys, your theme? What are you running on?
Well, you know, if people in Highlands Ranch look around and see how fantastic our quality of life is, for years we've had 96% satisfaction rates and surveys that are done. We are all very, very happy with the quality of level services. Our opponents, it is apparent that they have not even looked at the service plan or the statutory limitations of what the Highlands Ranch Metro District can do and cannot do, because they're proposing all kinds of things that would increase our taxes, and we obviously want to keep our taxes the lowest. We have the lowest of all the tax rates of all the communities in Douglas County. We want to keep it that way. We want to pay off our debt early. Building our senior center and increasing senior services is very important. And it's just maintaining that overall quality of life without adding new taxes. Our opponents want to incorporate, and Kim, you know what that would mean because of your experience with Lone Tree. Mm-hmm. But it would be devastating for Highlands Ranch, and it'd blow our taxes up. So we feel that staying with the current leadership as is, with Renee and Nancy, and with me coming in with 30 years of military service and lots of service in the community, we'd maintain that high level and that quality of services in Highlands Ranch.
If it's not broke, don't break it, you know it. So with that, right. Renee, how can people find out more information about you and Andy and Nancy?
We have a website, www.HRMD, Highlands Ranch Metropolitan District, HRMD Board2020.com. And we have personal bios on there and the things that we're running for and how to vote tomorrow and how to find the 62 Plaza Drive. And we're really hoping people will show up and cast their vote and understand that it's important. Generally, this is a low turnout election, because with special district elections, you need to require a mail-in ballot or show up to vote and know what to do. And people are so satisfied living in Highlands Ranch, there's no controversy generally to bring them out to the polls. So we're just hoping people will realize the importance of this particular race and attend. their polling place tomorrow.
It's super important, very, very important. So, Andy, again, where is this? And if this is tomorrow, 7 to 7. So where do people need to go? And it's residents of Highlands Ranch, correct?
That is correct. Residents of Highlands Ranch, please wake up and join us. It will be at 62 Plaza Drive. It's at the corner of Broadway and Plaza Drive near the AMC 24. And again, we drive home the point that you want to keep experience. Our opponents have never even been to an HRMD board meeting. They've never been to a board meeting. They don't know what they're doing. They're just trying to use this. I don't know. We don't know why they're trying to do this, but it's apparent needs to be aware.
Well, and Renee Anderson and Nancy Smith have been on the board, so reelect them. Andy Jones, let him have him join you. Thank you so much. And again, I looked at your website yesterday as I was preparing for the show, and that is really terrific. It's HRMDBoard2020.com, and all the information is there. So Andy Jones, thank you so much. And Renee Anderson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Great show.
Okay. Have a great day. We're going to go to break in just a minute. Jason McBride will be here in just a moment as well. And I do want to let you know that these are such important elections. It's important to show up. I need to do a little bit more research on the elections that I'll be voting in as well. Okay, Jason McBride, happy Monday.
Hey, good morning, Kim. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you doing?
Oh, just very, very well. Sorry, I wasn't sure if I had been disconnected or not.
I wasn't sure either, so Monday morning technical difficulties. But what's it look like? Is there going to be technical difficulties for the market today?
Well, it looks like we might have some technical difficulties, at least at the start, Kim. Trump uttered the terrible tariff word again on Friday last week and Thursday, and the market didn't like that. We had a 600-point drop on the Dow on Friday, but it doesn't look like we had a big increase in volume, so that is a positive that the selling wasn't frenetic. This morning, Kim, we've got about a 200-point downward move on the futures, but as always, we've still got an hour until the market opens, so a lot of things could change by then. Quite frankly, Kim, I mean, we'd had a pretty good moonshot upward move. A little bit of a pullback isn't necessarily surprising, nor is it a bad thing to kind of let some people take some good profits, let the market kind of reset again and try to, you know, build another deck here to possibly move higher if we don't get horrible bad news on COVID or the death rates or a resurgence or, you know, some other excuse that could be pushed through the media like a virus, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, pun intended.
Pun intended. So with that, while we're going through, I'm now calling it the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. And so with the CARES Act, there's some things that people can do that they may go away in the future, but there's some things they could do right now that I think they should sit down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, because they can maybe lower some taxes, optimize some things that have happened in their portfolio, and would highly recommend that they sit down with you guys and gals.
I think that's a good idea. The CARES Act gives anyone with a retirement account some additional flexibility for this year. There may be ways to take advantage of it. For some people, they may not need it, but it's worth investigating. Also, if your overall allocation or your portfolio's out of whack, is this a good time to think about taking action to fix that? If you've got cash that's been sitting on the sideline, well, things are cheaper than they were. It's worth at least considering. So, yes, Kim, they can give a call. Talk to one of our fine advisors, the great men and women of Presidential Wealth, and I am quite sure we'll be able to assist them in some way and answer any questions they would have.
And that phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or go to AIRpresidential.com. Jason McBride, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, Kim, have a great show.
Thanks so much. You have a great day. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Colorado State Representative Kim Ransom is on the Joint Budget Committee. And things have totally changed since I think they had about 90% of the budget done. And then we have this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. And so we'll find out, we'll look into her crystal ball on what she is hearing coming down the pike here regarding the budget. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out the website at kimmunson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And really pleased to have on the line with me Colorado State Representative Kim Ransom. She is my representative. I know you all out there are probably jealous because I have such a great Colorado State Representative Kim Ransom. You're really, really work really hard, Kim Ransom. I so appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. And good morning. Thank you for having me, Kim.
Well, thank you. And I know you've been working hard on this joint budget committee. And so what is going on? What do you see coming down the pike here, Kim Ransom?
All righty. We are starting today. Today is the big day when we are getting, well, when we're doing the final steps of the balancing process on the new budget. You may remember that as of the second week of March, the budget was probably 95% complete based on what was happening in our country and in our state economically up until March when they closed our economy down. And obviously, we had a bunch of other factors that were entering into that, you know, with the PPE and the hospitals. And, you know, there were so many things that different people were considering as that decision was made. That being said, it's gone on a long time, and our economy has really suffered. So we have to redo that budget. So we have been relooking at items that were approved back in January and February are most likely going to now be removed from the budget. That being said, we have not done any voting yet. We have not had any official meetings yet. We have been getting budget documents and spreadsheets and charts and comparisons and, you know, what ifs. So we different scenarios to compare and figure out which will be the best one. So we've been looking at all that for weeks now. Today's the day. The gavel will come down at 9 a.m. Not in the Capitol, in one of the buildings across the street from the Capitol. It's called LSB, the Legislative Services Building. The gavel will come down, and we will start actually honing the budget to what we expect to be the new number, which for the first time in years, the budget will decrease. It generally goes up at least, you know, 1 or 2% a year, and it will likely decrease. So that's what we're expecting anyway. And so we will start going through line items one by one starting this morning. We will be looking at areas that we've all been considering over the past few weeks, but we'll actually start being able to vote because we will finally be in an official meeting.
Okay, so you're actually all going to be together in a
correct
room.
For the first time in many weeks. Yep.
And how many members on the Joint Budget Committee, and what's the makeup of it?
All right, there are 6 people on the Joint Budget Committee, 3 representatives from the House and 3 senators. Clearly from the Senate. However, here's the tricky part. The majority party gets to send 2, and the minority party gets to send one. We all know what happened back in 2018 with how Colorado voted in with the 2018 election, meaning that we lost the House and the Senate. So if you do the math, it's 4-2. There are 4 Democrats and 2 Republicans. So basically, we even, you know, even if we're, so if we're voting as a on a party line basis, we'll, the Republicans will lose every time. So we, but we do work together. I have to admit that many of the votes are unanimous because there are so many items in the state budget that clearly need to be funded. For example, K-12, you know, we need to make, you know, that's in the Constitution. We need to make sure that the public schools are funded. There are certain elements and certain departments within the state budget that are required either on a constitutional or a statutory basis, and we'll generally agree on those. Sometimes we'll have differences to degree or amounts, but we'll agree that funding needs to happen. You know, there, some money needs to go there. And then there's also a lot of money that comes from the Fed. So the federal government actually does send a lot of money our way. Now, as we've discussed, the federal government money is actually still money that you and I have paid in taxes. We're still taxpayers, whether it's federal dollars or state dollars. So I do not see federal money, unlike some of my colleagues, I do not just see federal dollars as, quote, free money, unquote. I think it's still taxpayer dollars that we should be careful with and that we should keep an eye on and not be frivolous with. So, but those are still elements of the budget, though. Those are still factors we have to consider. Because, for example, if we spend a certain amount of money on Medicaid and then the federal government is matching that, that's something that we can absolutely take into consideration. It's something that we have to look at as we are considering the budget that was this year. It was the original forecast. And again, it just never really, we never finished it completely. But we were looking at about $34 billion, maybe a little over for the Colorado budget for 2021. Our budget year starts July 1st. And it goes from July 1st to June 30th. So we were looking at about $34 billion. The current estimates are that we probably have to carve out about $3 billion. That's what we're kind of estimating. And we're getting a forecast, an updated revenue forecast a week from tomorrow, May 12th. So stay tuned for that.
Okay. Let's go back and have you answer a question. What is the difference? You said that there's some things that you have to do constitutionally and then others from a statutory standpoint. Tell our listeners what you are talking about there, please.
Okay. If it's in the Constitution and it requires funding to accomplish, we need to fund it. K-12 is always, you know, the public school system is always my best example for that. Now, that includes charter schools. Charter schools, by definition, are public schools. So they need to get funding as well. And that, you know, the per pupil funding allotment, or PPFA, as we call it. If it's constitutionally required, then we, as far as I'm concerned, I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and I think we need to fund that. Statutory spending, those are bills that have been passed at any point that require funding. Now, some bills are bills that passed on a bipartisan way. Some would even pass, I'm sure, unanimously or close to that. Some bills, you know, people just agree there are certain things that we should fund or need to fund. For example, certain elements of supporting our developmentally disabled community, our law enforcement, our prisons, those types of things. Some of them we have to actually change the laws to put in a new program. Where we start parting company, and not exactly on party lines, but quite often you'll start seeing that divide, is some of the extra programs. And now they're in statute because we know who is in charge of the legislature right now. We know who has the numbers to pass their bills. There are a lot of grant programs that do different things. Some of them you might agree with, or some of them you might agree with in part. For example, some of the low-income housing, you know, some people want to have different programs for that. But if you look at DOLA,
Department of Local Affairs.
Local Affairs. I'm so sorry. I lost that for a second. I was taking a sip of coffee. They have many grant programs for low-income housing. Now, how many do we need? Do we need just one big one, or do we need separate ones for families, for single moms, for people that are just leaving the criminal justice system? For people with mental health issues. I mean, do we need to have separate grant programs for housing vouchers for each one of those? Maybe, maybe not. But I can tell you that there are separate grant programs for each one of those. There are also multiple grant programs for retaining teachers. Now, many of us would agree that people that teach out, especially maybe in rural areas where it's harder to attract and retain teachers, maybe we should have some grant programs to help incentivize them to come. Maybe, maybe not. If so, how big should they be? How long should they last? What should the rules be? But again, those are all in statute. That being said, it was legislative intent at some point to put that into CRS, into state law, to fund these programs, programs of many kinds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really seems to me that many of these things, maybe somebody in the past wanted to do those, but I think that those are things that should be debated each year. And you know, instead of just putting things on top of past programs, past statutory things, I think they need to be revisited because things change. And I actually think we might start to see a resurgence of our rural areas, because after this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing, I think people are maybe going to say, you know what, I think that maybe I don't need to be in this big population center. And if, in fact, we're going to start to be bringing manufacturing back, I think that could really be great for our rural areas. Kim Ransom, your thought?
I completely agree. And just so you know, I actually believe that the rural areas are starting to rise up and realize that Colorado is not just the Denver-Boulder corridor. It's just not. Now, there may be a lot of people there. A lot of people live in the urban areas, but that doesn't mean they should run the entire state, including our rural areas. Our rural areas have a right to exist and be heard and be represented. And, you know, and we need to account for them as well. And so, by the way, you'll actually see my caucus has just been working on this the last few days. Please take a look at the op-ed. I'm not sure. We were kind of still working on it yesterday to where our entire caucus would agree with an op-ed. But it says exactly what you and I were just mentioning, that our state government officials are very the top heavy. You know, when you start looking at the Speaker of the House, the Majority Leader of the House, our governor, they're all from... They all actually have roots in the Boulder area. The Senate Majority Leader Fenberg also is from Boulder. So do we want them making decisions for the entire state, including the rural areas? Again, they were absolutely elected to their positions, but we need to be looking at the rural areas too, because they are a part of our state. You know, when you start looking, and not just for tourism either, they're also a very crucial and integral part of Colorado, is those wide vances of ranch land that we drive through as we drive to other states and drive through them. It's a beautiful part of Colorado that I don't want to lose. And I want to make sure that we take care of them and not just take care of the urban inner city centers.
Well, let's go to break. That's such an important point. Before we do that, though, Kim Ransom, I wanted to give a shout out to one of my great sponsors, and that is Hooters Restaurants. And they currently have been offering delivery from their 5 Hooters locations, accepting to-go orders at order.hooters.com. You can actually put your order in and just drive up, and they'll bring that out. Now we'll see what happens as we start to open up, just how that's going to work. I think restaurants are trying to figure that out. But Wednesdays are Wings Day, and that you can order 20 wings and get 10 for free. So be sure and check that out. That's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. We're talking with Colorado State Representative Kim Ransom. She is a member of the Joint Budget Committee. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Talking with Colorado State Representative Kim Ransom. She's on the Joint Budget Committee, and they are meeting today. They're meeting in person. So I'd love to come down and see what's going on. What time does it start, and where's that at exactly?
Well, this is going to be a fun point to make with you, Kim. It's not open to the public. Because of the virus situation and the health situation, and I have actually made the point that I'm disagreeing that we proceed if we're not going to have our meetings, you know, and allow the public into view. However, they will be broadcast. So they'll be on the Colorado channel. You know how you can watch the proceedings in the House on your computer, or you can go to the Colorado channel, and you can also listen to it. Just you can listen to the recording afterwards, but you can also listen to it live this morning just by going to the legislative website with it, which is ledge.leg.colorado.gov, and you'll be able to observe or listen to the proceedings this morning. All of the documents are there as well, so you can pull up those documents and read along with them or read them ahead of time if that's something you'd want to do. So it starts at 9. We will be in, it's called LSBA, the Legislative Services Building, but they are not going to unlock the doors. They are leaving the doors locked. Lobbyists are not allowed in. The public is not allowed in. Just staff and actual legislators. But again, you will be able to observe. This has been vetted through the Legislative Council, the Nonpartisan Legislative Council. The chair of the JBC actually spent a fair amount of time working with Ledge Council trying to make sure that it was legal, because we do have sunshine laws in this state. And their opinion was that we could proceed this morning without letting the public observe.
We are in such a crazy time. You know, this is a crazy time in America. Let's, Patty had found another headline that I wanted to ask you about. This is from CSND.com, and it says the senior homestead exemption might be on the chopping block in face of sinking revenues. And that is something that I know many of our seniors really like. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, many of them not just like it, but they count on it. Many of them are able to stay in their homes because of it. And I have to say that my caucus has been very vocal, to me especially, about maintaining that exemption. Because, you know, it also applies to 100% disabled veterans. So I think it's an important piece of what we do to help our seniors stay in place and age in place and remain in their homes, even as the home values rise. They may have lived in their homes for many years and don't want to have to buy a more expensive home to live in. So, however, what I need to make sure that we all understand is that when that was passed, and it is in the Constitution, it was passed back, I think, approximately 2000, right around in there. It was mm-hmm. voted on by the people and added in. It is actually subject to available funding. That is how it was passed back when it was originally passed by the voters and added into the Constitution. So if the money's not there, theoretically, technically, I think it might be one of the things that does have to be eliminated temporarily. Now, it doesn't go away forever because it is in the Constitution. But what the Constitution allows is the legislature to set the rate at zero temporarily. Now, back in 2008, it did disappear for, I think, about 3 years. It was not given to our seniors. But then it came back as the economy, you know, started to rise up again and our numbers started to get better with revenue. That was one of the first things that came back. Again, because it's in the Constitution, that is a very, very important piece of this. It was not just a bill that was passed. Remember, bills that are passed can be passed or undone, or, you know, we can add new legislation, pass new bills that undo previous bills. But in the Constitution, thankfully, the legislature can't undo that. So at this point, I'm going to do my best to make the point to not remove it, but there are going to be significant cuts. When I was just telling you about the $3 billion that we're kind of expecting that we'll have to cut, the first pass when our legislative staff, you know, the JVC staff went through and came up with recommendations, I actually went through and did kind of a rough count of all their recommendations and added them up and looked at what it came up to. It was about $1 billion, just a little bit under $1 billion, $995 million is what they came up with. So that was just their first pass, so more cuts to come. But they spent weeks going through trying to dig into every line item, and they could come up with $1 billion. So when you look at the fact that we need to now triple that and come up with $3 billion, unfortunately, the numbers may not be there to sustain that senior homestead exemption for every year. It may have to go away for a year or two. You know, and at this point, I don't know. If it does go away, I will be fighting for just 1 year and not for two or three. But, you know, for me, it's going to be one of the last things I'll agree to.
Okay, that's it's going to get really interesting. One other question. Have any of the state employees been furloughed or lost their jobs? Has there been any reduction in their pay?
None. And that is something that we are going to be looking at, because I know one of the other JBC members, when we were interviewed on the news last week, she said, well, I don't want to balance the budget on the backs of the state employees. Well, I've received well over 100 emails from people saying, please don't balance the budget on the backs of our students. So people find their corner of the budget and think that one is the most important. And I have to admit that when I see constituents and citizens of Colorado losing their jobs or seeing a huge reduction in pay, business owners are barely able to make their own personal mortgage payments, much less pay the rent of their businesses. And then for the government employees to be getting their full pay is not something that sits well with me. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't have any problem with really looking at the state employees, because I think a lot of them are, as we would think of them, government employees. A lot of them do great work. There are a lot of good state employees that work hard, but there are some that are bureaucrats, as you and I would probably refer to them. And I think that those are areas that we can look at.
Well, most definitely, when we see, and we're out of time, Representative Ransom, okay. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Kim. You have a good day.
Oh, you too. And to that point, before we get to our quote for the end of the day, is that we have people that are concerned they're going to be losing their businesses. People have been out of work for a significant period of time. And so for state government employees and bureaucrats to be making full salary while everybody else is closed down, it just doesn't seem fair to me. It just doesn't seem fair. So on that note, we didn't really talk as much about the Fourth Amendment as I wanted to, but Joseph Story said this provision, the Fourth Amendment, speaks for itself. Its plain object is to secure the perfect enjoyment of that great right of the common law, that a man's house shall be his own castle, privileged against all civil and military intrusion. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell